The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
This week's Parsha is Parsha's Emor. Vayomer Hashem al Moshe, Hashem said to Moshe, Emor el ha-Kohanim, b'nei Aaron, speak to the Kohanim, the sons of Aaron. V'amarta aleihem le-nefesh le-yitama bi-amov. And say to them that they shall not make themselves impure to any dead person. Kim l'sheira ha-korev elov, but only to their closest kin. This refers to his wife, le-ima elo-oviv, to his mother or father, v'livnei levitai, to his son or his daughter, lo-ochiv, and to his brother. Then the Torah continues. And then, following this, we have many mitzvahs which are exclusive to the Kohanim who were the sons of Aaron. Then the Torah tells us, "Kedeshim yu lele ehem vele yichalelu sheim elehem ki es ishe adonai lechem elehem hei makrivim vehoyu kodesh." They should be kedoshim yu. They shall be sanctified to Hashem. And they shall not desecrate the name of Hashem, because they bring the offerings to Hashem, and therefore they shall be sanctified. And then the Torah in Pasuk Ches states, "V'kidashtoi ki aslechem lekecho hu makriv." You shall sanctify them. Again, the Torah tells us, because they bring the lechem, the bread, to Hashem, which refers to the sacrifices. Kodesh yaloch, they shall be sanctified. Ki kodesh ani Hashem ekadishchem, because I am sanctified, the one who makes them holy. So here we have the mitzvahs which deal with Kohanim, the sons of Aaron, the priesthood, and where the Torah tells us that they shall be sanctified. Rashi quotes, "Kedoshim yu al kochach yakdishum bezdin bekach." This is not a matter of choice. They must sanctify themselves. And if not, then it's the obligation of Bezdin to do it against their will. This Rashi brings from the Torah's Kohanim. Then Rashi tells us, "V'kidashtoi al-kochei." They must sanctify themselves against their will. "Shim l'rotze l'garish al-kehu v'yosreo at-shigarish." The Torah tells us that they're only allowed to take certain wives. For example, they can't marry someone who has been disqualified from the kuna, or the divorcee. And this they must keep. And this is the obligation of the Bezdin to see that they do. Kodesh yaloch, nog bo kidusha. And we are obligated. We are obligated to deal with them also with great sanctity. Lifteach rishain bechol dover, ulevorach rishain besuda. That whenever it comes to opening up a session, you honor the Kohen first. Or if it comes to making a brocha, you honor the Kohen first. So we see that the Torah gave a specific kedusha, a specific sanctity to the Kohanim. And therefore he was given many, many extra mitzvahs. And all of these mitzvahs, extra mitzvahs, constituted in him an extra sanctity. Like the Gemara says in many places, Kohani mitzvahs yiseiris nitzavu behen. They were given many extra mitzvahs, and kedusha yiseira nitzavu behen. And they were given much extra sanctity. And these laws are brought in the Rambam and in Shulchan Aruch. The Rambam, for example, brings at the beginning of Hilchas Kli HaMikdash. At the beginning of Perek Shlishi, Perek Gimel, Zera Levi, the seed of Levi, Kula, Mugdol, Avedis HaMikdash. They were all separated to do the service in the basic Mikdash. Shneamar bo Esai Hivdil Hashem Eshevet Levi. At this time, HaKadosh Baruch Hu separated the tribe of Levi. And it's a positive commandment that the tribe of Levi should be separated and they should be free and have the time and the energy to do the offerings and all that was necessary in the Beis HaMikdash. Bein rotzu, bein shalei rotzu. Whether they want to or not. Shneamar v'ovar alevi hu es avedis ha'el maed. And then the Rambam goes further in Perek Dalet. Ha'kahanim d'lo mechal alavim. The children of Levi, this constituted the Levim. And then within Shevet Levi itself, the children of Aaron were separated again. And these were the Kahanim. They were separated from within the Levim, Lavedis HaKorbonis, to serve in the Korbonis, in the sacrifices. Shenemar Vayavdil Aaron, Lagdisha Kodesh Kadoshim. Umitzvah's essay, He Lahavdil HaKohanim, and it's a positive commandment that we must distinguish and separate the Kahanim, Ulekatshom, and to sanctify them, Ulochinom LaKorban, and to prepare them to take heed of all that was necessary for the sacrifices. Shinema Vikidashtoi, and he quotes the Posik from our Sedra, Vikidashtoi ki eslechem elakecho hum akriv, that you shall sanctify them because they sacrifice the bread to the Almighty. B'tzorech kol odom Yisrael linoig ben koved harbe, and every Jew is obligated to give them much honor. And to give them priority whenever it comes to any type of Dovah Shebikdusha, sanctity, Lifteach B'teira Rishayin. We call them up to the Torah first. Ulevorech Rishayin. We allow them to make the Brocha first. Ulitom Mone Yofer Rishayin. If it comes to making Ameitzi or to serving, you serve them first. And so forth. Also in this Sedra, we have the Torah tells us, Ba'akayin ha'godl me'echot, the Kohen, who's the greatest of all of his brethren, of the Kahanim, Asher yutzak ha'reishoy shemen ha'mishcha, that was, he was anointed with the oil, the special oil of anointment, U'mile ha'shodei lilbishas ha'bogodim, and also he was inaugurated by being given special clothing. The regular Kohen, he had 4 special garments. And the Kohen Godel had 8 special garments. Esreisha le'yifra v'godav le'yifraim. He has other halachas, other laws. He cannot make himself impure for anyone. Never is he allowed to rent his garments or to let his hair go wild. U'min ha'migdosh le'yetzei, and he shall never go out of the Beis HaMikdosh for any purpose to attend a funeral, because this will desecrate the Beis HaMikdosh. And he is obligated to take only a virgin for a wife. So the Kohen Gadol was given even further halachas. And just to give you one or two examples, the Rambam brings in Perikei, in the 5th chapter, Kohen Gadol Tzorech Shiyah Gadol Mikol Echov HaKahanim. The Kohen Gadol, the high priest, he has to be greater than all of his brethren, Benoi, in beauty, Bekeach, in strength, Be'esher, in wealth, Be'chochma, in wisdom, U'Bemare, in appearance. Ein Leimomen, what happens if the individual who is to become the Kohen Gadol, he does not have so much money? Kol ha'kohanim neisnin lei mishalehem. So all of his brothers give to him from themselves. Kol echel lefi oshrei, each in accordance to his means. Achi yashri yesem mi oshri shebekulan, until the Kohen Gadol becomes the wealthiest. V'chayiv Kohen Gadol linei kovet bi'atzmei. We are obligated to give much honor to the Kohen Gadol, and he is also obligated to conduct himself with much honor. Lo yakel be'atzmai im shara'om. Never should he bring himself down to the conduct of the normal people, of the usual people. But he must always hold himself above the other people. Since he was the Kohen Gadol, he was like a king. And then the Rambam goes through all of the various laws which apply to him. We have a Mishnah in Masechta Ovis. It's in Perek Aleph, Mishnah Yud Beis. Hilo v'shamai kiblu mehem. Hilo Eimer. There was Hilo, there were Hilo and Shammai. These were two of the great rabbis of the Mishnah. And Hilo said, Hevi mi talmidov shel Aaron. Everyone should make himself a disciple of Aaron. Take the qualities of Aaron HaKohen and ingrade them in himself. So firstly, from here we see that the Ma'ilas HaKohuna, the qualities of the Kohuna, that evidently other people also can gain. We can make ourselves disciples of Aaron. What were the qualities? What were his specific attributes? Ohev Shalom. You shall love peace. Vereide Shalom. And you should pursue peace. Ohev Es Abriyos. You shall love the people. Umekarvon Letera. And you should bring them close to Torah. And Rashi brings various stories that the Medrash tells us that Aaron, when he would see two people fighting, Zehim Zeh, he would go to each one separately. And first he would ask this one, why are you fighting with this other person? He is very sorry that he has gotten into this hassle with you. And he wants to become your friend again. Go make up with him. And then he would go to the other one and tell him the same thing. The same thing when Aaron would see a dispute between Ish v'Ishte, a man and his wife, he would do the same thing. He would do even more. And this is why Rashi tells us, it's from the Chazal, that when Moshe Rabbeinu died, so it states, Vayivku kol b'nei Yisrael, all the sons of Israel wept. When Aaron died, it states, Vayivku es Aaron shleishim yoim kol beis Yisrael. That the entire household of Israel wept for 30 days. The men and the women, there were no exclusions. Excuse me. By Moshe Rabbeinu, there were exceptions. Moshe was the beloved leader, the greatest leader we ever had. But it seems not everyone, there were some exceptions, wept when he died. But by Aaron, there were no exceptions. It states, by Yivku es Aaron shleishim yoim kol beis Yisrael, the entire household of Israel wept for Aaron for 30 days. So therefore, this was the quality of Aaron HaKohen. Aaron was the first Kohen Gadol, and from here, his seed were to be the Kohanim. And Hillel is instructing us, having mitalmidim shel Aaron HaKohen. Make yourself disciples of him. Emulate his qualities. What were his qualities? Ohev Shalom v'Ra'ev Shalom. That you should love peace and pursue peace. Ohev Es Abriyos u'Mekarvon LaTorah. You should love the people and bring them close to Torah. Now here we can ask a very good question. Where do we see that this is the quality of the kohuna, of the priesthood? The Torah in our parsha sanctified the Kohanim. Even more so, they sanctified the Kohen Gadol, the high priest. Gave them many, many extra mitzvahs. and commanded us also to sanctify them. Where do we see, though, that these in particular were their qualities? I mean, these are qualities that every Jew should have. But why do we find that these were the midosei shel Aaron HaKohen, the qualities of Aaron? One source we have for this, if we go back into the source of where they come from, as we mentioned, they come from Levi. And the Torah tells us in Parshas Vayetzeh, Perechov Tes, Pasuk Lamed Aled, then Yaakov married Leah, and then he married Rachel. And Yaakov and Leah gave birth. First she gave birth to a son, Reuven. Then she gave birth to a second son, Shimon. Then she gave birth to a third son, Vatar Od Vatelet Bein, Vatomer Ato Hapam Yilove Ishi Elai, Kiladati Shvei Shabodim. Now, my husband will be with me because I have given birth to three sons. Al kein korosh mei Levi, therefore his name was called Levi. What does this posuk mean? So Rashi brings two droshes on this posuk. One is Breishis Rabbah, Lefishi Maus Nivioi Soyu. The matriarchs, they were prophetesses. And they knew that Yaakov was destined to have 12 sons because he had to build 12 tribes. And they also knew through prophecy that Yaakov would take 4 wives. Omro, so therefore Leah said, no one can have any more complaints on me. Because 12 sons and 4 wives, this means that if I have given birth to 3 children, so now I have my equal, my full share. Sharei notalti kol chelki bebonim. I have taken a full share in the sons. So therefore, no one can have any complaints, and therefore, ato hapam yilove ishi elai. My husband will love me. He won't have any complaints. There will not be any grudges against me. And therefore, he will always be close to me. Now, the word yilove comes from the word to be close. There's a word yilove that we're all familiar with, to escort. Malava Malka, you escort the queen. Or you're a malava, someone, an orech, you walk with him. But the word yilove actually means more than that. It means to escort. It means to be miskaber. It means to join together with someone else. Create a bond with someone. Come close to him. And this is what the Targum tells us. The Targum says on this word, yilove, v'ameres hados zimno, now yishaber li bali. Yishaber li bali. That my husband will be with me all the time now. Schaber from the word chibur, chover. So therefore, Levi was called Levi, which means to bring together. Then Rashi brings another Joshua. Koresh my Levi, by all of the other sons, it states, Batikrosh my Reuben. Vatikra Shmei Shimon, which means that she called him Reuven. She called him Shimon. By Levi, it says, Korosh Mei Levi. He was called Levi. So Rashi brings, Bekulam Ksi Vatikra Shihi Koro. Bezeh Kosev by Koro, Yesh Medrash Agoda Beila Advorim Rabo, Shesholach HaKorosh Bohu Gabriel. When Levi was born, he was very beloved to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the Almighty. Kodesh Baruch Hu sent down Gavriel, one of his angels, Vehivil Lefonov. And Gavriel picked up the child and brought him to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'korah le'shem zeh. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who gave him this name. V'nosan le'chov dalet matonis kuhuna. And he gave him 24 gifts. The Kahanim were, later on in the Torah, the Kahanim were given gifts that all of Israel has to give them. They must give them from their crops, and they must give them from their bread, and they must give them from their animals. And this was in return in order that they will be free and enable them to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them the 24 gifts of Kahuna. V'Hashem shelavu b'matona is Koru Levi. And because he surrounded him with so many gifts, and the child was escorted with so many gifts, therefore he called him Levi. So, it does not say Vatikrish by Levi, that she called him Levi, but Vekora by Levi. That Al Kein Koresh by Levi, his name was called Levi. We see the name Levi, therefore, comes for two reasons. One is because he created a strong bond between Yaakov and Leah, between two people. And two is because a strong bond was created between he and the Almighty. Because when someone gives gifts, the Gemara says this is a manifestation. This is a manifestation of friendship. This is a manifestation of a close bond, of love. The Gemara Masechta Shabbos says, Hanesin matona l're'ehu, tzorech l'hediyai. That if you give a gift to your friend, you must not give it secretly. You must tell them who it's from. Charity, that should be given secretly. But a gift, this you must tell who it's from. Why? The purpose of charity is to help support someone. So, whether he knows where it's coming from or not, it is serving its purpose. But the purpose of a gift is an os chibova avo, is a sign of friendship. If he doesn't know who the gift is coming from, so then you have not fulfilled the object. So therefore, when you give a gift, you must say who it's coming from. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu heaped so many gifts to Levi, so this was a sign of his great love for this one. He sent Gavriel and said, bring this child to me. And he was Hilvu. Bechov Dalet Matnois Kuhuna gave him the 24 gifts. And therefore, he called him Levi. So we see that Levi, right at his birth, brought a strong bond between Yaakov and Leah, between two people, and brought a strong bond between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and himself. And this is why he was called Levi. As Levi grew up, he was special in Yaakov's eyes because we find that even before he was officially designated that from his tribe should come the Kahani, we find that Yaakov had set him aside. The Rambam brings in the beginning of Hilchas Avodah Zarah that Levi was set aside to learn Torah and to teach Torah and to guard the Torah. And Yaakov commanded his other sons that they should always see that Levi is free to do this. And this will be his responsibility to guard the Torah. When they went down to Egypt, we find that Levi was treated differently. Because Moshe and Aaron, who were from the family of Levi, they seemed to be able to come and go freely in Egypt during the time of the enslavement. And when Pharaoh didn't want to see them anymore, he said, go back to your homes. Leave me alone, don't bother me. And the Chazal asked, why did he tell them, go back to your homes? He should have told them, go back to your work, go back to the slave labor. So the answer is because since they were from Levi, they were Leinishtabdu, they were not enslaved. Levi was not enslaved in Egypt. And the reason for this is because Levi was always separate. And there was a tradition in Mitzrayim in Egypt that went back further from the time of Yosef, where there was always a respect for the clergy. That Paray had respect even for the Egyptian clergy. And therefore, he did not enslave Levi. And Meshanan were able to come and go freely. When it came to the time of the going out of Egypt, and they came to Har Sinai, and Moshe, after 40 days, there was a miscalculation, and they thought that Moshe wasn't coming back, and they went and they built the golden calf. All of the men, or many, many of the men, from every tribe were involved in the idolatry, except Shevet Levi. They did not serve idolatry. When Moshe came down and he said, Mila Hashem Elai, whoever is for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let him come to me. So it says, Kol Shevet Levi, the entire tribe of Levi gathered to Moshe Rabbeinu. And then Moshe told them to go and to fight against all of those who served idolatry. And it was through this that they officially were given the schus, the merit of serving in as Levim and as Kohanim. Because before then, the official schus was given to the Becheris, to the firstborn of every family. And the Rambam writes, Me olam le'ovat shevet Levi avedis ora. Never did the tribe of Levi serve idolatry. So here we do get an inkling as to the essence of Levi, and how at his very birth he went and he created a bond between Yaakov and Leah and between he and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now we can go one step further. The Maral writes in his Pirish and Masecht Ovis, that this world is what is known as an Olam HaPirud, an Olam HaChiluk. It is a world of dissension. A world of division. And this we see from the very creation. Chazal tell us that on the day that the world was created, Hora Cain is Hevel. Cain went and killed Hevel. So there was reeve, there was quarrel, and there was division on the very first day of the world, that the world was created. And this is the nature of this world. It is a world of division and a world of machlekes. By the goyim, by the nations of the world, they have many different ways to serve the Almighty or to serve their gods. Klal Yisrael was given one way. And the Medrash tells us that when Korach wanted also to become a Kohen, so Moshe Rabbeinu answered him, we are not like the nations of the world. We have one place to serve the Almighty. Before the establishment of the Beis HaMikdash, during the time of Odom HaRishon, during the time of Noach, during the time of Avram, of Yitzchok, of Yaakov, we find that wherever they wanted, they would make a sacrifice. They would build an altar and make a sacrifice. But once the Mishkan was established, and once the Beis HaMikdash was established, then this is the only place where we're allowed to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And not only do we have only one place to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but we have one way to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this is represented in the Kohen Gadol. We have many Kohanim, but they all fall under the jurisdiction of the Gadol Echov, of the greatest one, the Kohen Gadol, the high priest. So we have one way, one place, and led by one Kohen, the Kohen Gadol. And this is really contrary to the nature of the world. Because the nature of the world is an Olam HaPirud. It's a world of division. And that we should have one way, this is contrary to it. And this is represented in the Kohen Gadol, in the high priest. And what is his function? His function is to take all of the energies of Israel and channel them in one way to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That means that he unifies, he's Ma'achid the Am, he unifies the nation. In order to unify the nation, he must bring them all together. If there are agudes, like the Gemara tells us, if there is dissension, and if there's a splintering amongst Israel, so then it comes out there's not one way to serve. There's a group here that serves one way, there's a group there that serves another way. And this is contrary to the Kohen Gadol. When all the Jews came to the Beis HaMikdash, there were no two or three or four customs. To give you a little clearer example, we can always understand the positive if we look at its opposite. Today, we live in a time when there are many, many different customs. And there are many, many different communities and many, many different ways to serve. There were the Ashkenazim, the great European kehillas, and there were the Sfardim, the great Spanish kehillas. And there were many, many basic differences in their the way they instructed the Torah and the way they learned Torah and in the understanding of the halachas and their customs. One example, we had Pesach just recently. In Pesach, the Ashkenazim Jews do not eat anything that's made from beans or the lentil family or rice, while the Sfarish Jews do. And this was always in our history, both at major levels or at minor levels, after the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Not during the Beis HaMikdash. Can you imagine when all of Israel would come, let's say on Pesach, or on the Shleish Regolim, Shavuos, or on Sukkos, Shleish Poamim, Yeiraya calls Churcha Esponai. That three times a year, all of Israel, every male is obligated to go up to the Beis HaMikdash. And Lo Yeiraya Esponai Rekob, you cannot come empty-handed. So everyone must bring a sacrifice. So everyone comes with his sheep or his goat or his bull or his meal offering. They come to the Beis HaMikdash. They come to the Kohanim. And someone has come from the south and he instructs the Kohanim that this is the way he wants it to done. And somebody comes from the north and he says, this is the way, this is the tradition of my family. And someone comes from the far east and he says, this is the way it should be done. No such thing. There is one Kohen Gadol, and he will do it the same way for everyone. There will be no two ways. The fact is that Rambam brings in Hilchos Mamrim that during the time of the Beis HaMikdash, then we had the Sanhedrin Hagdela. We've mentioned this in the past in the Shir. We had the Great Court. Now, once the Great Court was destroyed, and that came more or less with the Golus, So then there ceased to be a supreme jurisdiction over all of Israel. We had no great tribunal that could impose its jurisdiction all over Israel. So therefore, it was the obligation of every bezdin of every land, or of every bezdin of every community, or of every rov of every community, to teach his people and to direct his people. But one bezdin of one community could not impose its authority on another community. And this is stated very clearly in the Gemara Rambam. And therefore today, after the time that the Beis Din HaGodol, that the great court, was destroyed, if you have, for example, a Beis Din, we'll say in Belgium, that decrees such a halacha, and you have another Beis Din in France that says no, just the opposite, the people in Belgium are obligated to listen to their Beis Din. And even if the Beis Din in Eretz Yisrael says the opposite, the Beis Din of Eretz Yisrael today does not have jurisdiction over the entire world. But every Talmud Chochem is obligated to instruct his community the way he sees, unless there are those who are greater than him. But there is no Beis Din today that has jurisdiction over the entire world. And therefore, it evolves many different ways, many different interpretations. But during the time of the Beis Din HaGodol, this was impossible. Because if there was any question, so then it was brought to a higher court, and it was resolved one way or the other. If still there was any question, then it was brought again to a higher court, until eventually it was brought to the Beis Din HaGodol. And once it was brought to the Supreme Court had to answer. They had to answer it. And their answer had jurisdiction over Jews all over the world. And no one was allowed to refute it. And not only was no one allowed to refute it, but if any individual would challenge the decision of the Beis Din HaGodol, carried a very, very heavy punishment. So the Rambam brings in Hilchos Mamrim in Perek Alaf Halacha Dalet, Kishoya Beis Din HaGodol Kaim Lo Hoyisa Machlekes BiYisrael. When the Beis Din HaGodol was in existence, it was impossible that there could be Machlekes BiYisrael. There couldn't be any two interpretations, because there was only one Supreme Court that resolved it, and everyone was obligated to listen to it. Lo hayisa machlekes b'Yisrael. This is a concept which is very foreign to us, because we live in the Golos, we're in Golos today, and there is no Beis Din HaGodol. But this was the same thing with the Beis HaMikdash. So the Kohen Godel, his function was two. He had two functions. Firstly, to be ma'ached es ha'am, to unify the nation, whether they come in from the north or to the west, from the west or from the south or the east, they all came, and this is what Moshe Rabbeinu told Korach. They come to one Beis HaMikdash, and when they come to one Beis HaMikdash, it's under the jurisdiction of Kohen Godel Echad. He says, we're not like the Umos HaElam, we're not like the nations of the world that have many ways and many Kohanim. We have one way, and this authority and this responsibility was vested in the Kohen Godel. So firstly, his function was to unify the entire nation. Secondly, he would take this nation now and unify it with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And how would he do that? Through their korbonos. Because the word korban is from the word korov, to bring close. When he would offer sacrifices, korbonos, on behalf of the nation, he was uplifting the nation to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He was bringing them close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. These were his functions. And if we give some thought to it, this is exactly what Levi did when he was born. He brought Leah, Yaakov, close to Leah. Hapam Yilovi Ishi. Now Yishaber Bali. Now my husband will be near to me, because I have given him three sons. there'll be a bond of love. And he brought himself close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had Gavriel bring him up, and he gave, showed him this great love he had for him by giving him the 24 gifts of Kuna. Now the Maral writes, how can someone be me'achad a nation? How do you bring a nation together? And this is very, very unique in this world. Because this world is the Olam Hapiru. This is a world of dissension. This is a world of division. The fact is, we see right in the beginning of the creation of the world, it states, V'nar yotzeh me'eden. V'ohu arba roshim. A river came out of Eden, and it branched off into four tributaries. So the sages tell us, where is Eden? Where is Gan Eden? Gan Eden is not on this world. See, Gan Eden, that was already a higher world, a higher spiritual place. When the Almighty created the world, the source was a singular source. A river came out from Eden, a singular river. But when it came into this world, showing that when something comes to this world, this is the world of division. This was the job of Aaron HaKohen, that he had to unify Klal Yisrael in a world that was not unified. And how can this be done? This can only be done if he had a great and tremendous capability for the Midas HaShalom, for the quality of peace. The word machlekes comes from the Hebrew word chelek, which means a splinter, a faction, a piece. The word shalom comes from the word shalem. Shalem means complete, entirety. If you have something in its entirety, it's whole, it's a, when something is broken, then it's a chelek, then it's a piece. Machlekes is when you take a unit and you break it. Shalom is when you take factions, you take splinters, and you unify it. So the quality of Aaron HaKohen had to be that of shalom, because this was the great responsibility of the Kohen Gadol. And Aaron was the first Kohen Gadol. And Aaron came from Levi. So therefore Hillel tells us, this great quality, which is the essence of the kahuna, this is the essence of the sanctification of the kahuna. Because what did we need kahanim for? We needed kahanim to unify the nation and to bring them to the Beis HaMikdash, and then to bring them as a unit to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this great power, this power of shalom, Hillel now is teaching us, this was not exclusive to the kahanim. Any Jew also can acquire this. The source was Aaron, but another Jew also can acquire this. Therefore he instructed, Hevi mi talmidim shel Aaron HaKohen, make yourself a disciple of Aaron HaKohen. Learn from him and emulate him. What was his quality? Ohev shalom, v'raydev shalom. He loved peace and he pursued peace. Why does it say it twice? He loved peace and he pursued peace. So Anet Maral explains. Firstly, a person must love peace if he's going to create peace. But that's not enough. Under normal circumstances, that would be sufficient. But in the world that we live in, since this world is mesugal melachlekes, it is prone to division. So merely loving peace is not going to bring peace. People who academically love peace is not sufficient. First of all, most academic lovers of peace are not lovers of peace. They write about it. But people, even if someone genuinely loves peace, it's not sufficient. He's going to have to pursue it. Raydev Shalom. He's going to have to pursue it. And many, many times we find that wherever Shalom is written, the word Rodef also is written. Bakei Shalom Verotfehu, David HaMelech said. Go search out peace, verotfehu, and pursue it. It is something which is very elusive, and a person must realize that. In this world, peace is elusive. And if he wants it, or if even if he wants part of it, he's going to have to pursue it. The Maharal says, for example, when you see two people are fighting, they're not interested in pursuing peace. Usually those who are involved in fighting, each one is waiting for the next one to come. And there'll never be peace. The only way there'll be is when one starts to pursue it. He has to go out of his way with a great strength and chase it, because it's very elusive in this world. And there's another reason also. We shouldn't think that the midah of shalom is another nice quality of this world. Not so. First of all, it's not a quality of this world. It belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are psukim that we have that shahat shalom shaloi. Peace belongs to him. It's not a quality of this world. It's lemala min ha'olam. It's much higher than this world. And this is brought out in the Gemara Masechta Shabbos. The Gemara Masechta Shabbos and Av Yud. The Gemara tells us, and Av Yud Amid Beis, the Gemara states that if you're in a Beis HaMerechatz, if you're in a bathhouse, then you're not allowed to give someone shalom. You're not allowed to say shalom aleichem to someone. You can say good morning, you can greet him, you can say good afternoon, but you cannot say shalom aleichem. Why? Because the word shalom is Shmei Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name is shalom. That's one of his names. And just like you're not allowed to mention the other names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a bathhouse or in any other unclean place, therefore you are also not allowed to give shalom. The fact is, there was the question that when you write a letter to someone and you want to say shalom to him, you can't write out Hashem's name, because this letter is going to be thrown away. So can you write out the word shalom? This is a question in the Peskin. And that's why some do have the custom where they, when they write the word shalom, they don't write it out entirely. They just write shal, shin lamed vov, and then a little apostrophe, because it's the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if you do write it out, you might have to treat it like the other names. At any rate, the Gemara says this. Now, if this is the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't choose names lightly. This shows then that this shows more. Hashem Meir Ala Etzem. Sages tell us that a name is a perspective, is an insight to the essence of that what we're speaking of. And if Shalom is the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this means that Shalom is his essence. So from here we learn that it's not something from this world. It's something from another world. And that when we learn that Hanar Yotzemi Eden, that there was a river that came out of Eden, a single river. This is to signify that it was coming from one source. And one source means it was complete. One is complete. It was unified. And this was coming from a higher world where there everything was perfect and complete. There was no division. When it came into this world, then it lost its completion. Then it lost its shlemus. And it splintered into many directions. So therefore the Maharal says, if a person is looking for peace in this world, he's going to have to bring it in from the next world, from the upper world. It's from the greatest spiritual qualities. It's not merely something that is written and talked about in the UN or the capitals of other worlds, of the capitals of other countries. That's a mockery and a great desecration. The Gemara says you're not even allowed to say this word in an unclean place. It's the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, there's a principle. The Gemara says when it comes to mili de alma, when it comes to doing something that has to do with this world, with your business, But with everyday life, you can diarize it. If you want to do it today, you can do it today. If you want to leave it for tomorrow, or you leave it for 2 or 3 weeks later, you also can. But when it comes to a mitzvah, the Gemara says, if it's time for the mitzvah now, aseu miyad, do it immediately. Al tach b'tzenu. Do not let it become old. Do not let it become chometz. Mitzvah habo liyodei, tekaimu miyad. Do it immediately. Why? Because something that has to do with this world, so you can diarize it. You can bring it under the structure of time, which belongs to this world. But something that comes from another world, that's beyond the element of time. That's higher than the sun. It's the sun that governs our time for us. So therefore that has to be done with a tremendous speed and immediately. And that's why we find, Ohev Sholem v'Reid Fei Sholem. V'Reidev Sholem. Bakei Sholem v'Rat Fehu. If you want peace, it has to be done with a tremendous speed, a tremendous pursuit. Otherwise you won't have it. Ohev es Abriyos u'makarvim l'Torah. You should love the people and bring them close to Torah. Ohev es Abriyos. Aaron had a great love for the people. And this is the way he was able to unify them. Because the only way there can be a unity between people is if there's no machlekes, if there's a love. Because it's the sholem that makes them into one. Umekarven la Torah, and he brought them close to the Torah. Because his function was to bring them close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How do you bring someone close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? You bring them close to his Torah. So this was the function of Aaron HaKohen, and this was his quality. And the Maral says another point, a very good point. He says, Avos HaBriyos, love of people, or love of Jews, that comes from Avos Hashem, from the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He who loves HaKadosh Baruch Hu will love his people. If you find someone that does not love the people, it's a sign they don't love HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because the people are his people. Borim atem v'Hashem Elokeichem. You are my sons. So someone who does not like his fellow Jew, it's a sign that he doesn't like HaKadosh Baruch Hu so much. If he has a great love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then he has a great love for Jews. We see the converse that the Chazal tell us. The Chazal asked the question that why do we find so much anti-Semitism from so many non-Jewish nations against the Jews? So the Chazal tell us it's not because they hate the Jew. It's because they hate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They hate Almighty. And anyone who hates the Almighty hates his nation. So therefore their wrath and their hatred is directed against his people. So the same thing is the converse. Someone who loves HaKadosh Baruch Hu will love Jews. And Aaron, who had such a great love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he was able to have a great love for the people. And Mekarvin LaTorah, someone who has a great love for the people, he wants to bring them close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah. Therefore, these were Aaron's qualities, and this was their source. And we are instructed to emulate them. Now, one additional point. The one who chose to teach us this is Hillel. Hillel was a Nasi, Hillel was the prince in Israel. Why did he choose to teach us this? Hillel was very, very famous for his quality of humility, for his quality of anivus. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Shabbos, on Daf Lamed Aleph on the base, the Gemara brings and Daf Lamed Aleph Amar Aleph. the Gemara brings Tana Rabbanan. Le'elam ye'odam in vason ki Hillel. A person should always be humble and have humility like Hillel. Ve'lo ye kapten ki Shammai. Shammai was a very, very righteous person. And he was a very, very great sage. The fact is, in many ways, the Gemara says that the house Shammai was a greater sage than Hillel. But they had opposite approaches to Torah. Hillel was very humble with the people and very easygoing with the people. Shammai was very strict. Very strict, very disciplined, and he demanded discipline. And both, if you go in depth, both have their merits. But the Gemara tells us that on this world, there's a Gemara that says that in the next world we will be like Shammai. But in this world, because this world is not the perfect world and there is human imperfections and human failures, it's like HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he created the world, he went with Midas Adin, and this was Shammai. He went with the exactness of the law. And he saw that the world wouldn't continue to exist. So he had to also bring in Midas HaRachamim. He had to bring in the quality of compassion. And this was Hillel. L'aylam ye'odim in vosim ki Hillel v'lo ye'kapten ki Shammai. Ma'isa b'shnei b'nei odim. There was a story, a case with two people that they made a wager between each other. And they said that whoever will go and make Hillel angry, so the other one will give him 400 zuz, which was a very great amount of money. So one said, all right, I will go. That day was Erev Shabbos. And Hillel was chofav es reishai. Hillel was bathing. He was shampooing his hair. And this man came and he started to go back and forth in front of Hillel's daughter, and he said, Mikan Hillel, Mikan Hillel, is Hillel here, is Hillel here? And this is no way to approach the Nasi Shabbi Israel, the Prince of Israel. The Prince of Israel, this meant that he was the Av Beis Din, he was the head of the Sanhedrin Hagdela. Nisati v'yotza. Hillel put on his robe and he went out. And he said, Bini Mata Mavakesh, my son, what do you want? So he said, I have a question. She said, ask it. Why are the heads of the Babloim sigalgolis? The heads of the Babylonians were not completely round. Why are they? So Hillel said, "Bnei she'ela gadela shalta." This is a good question you're asking. He said, "Bnei she'elam chayis pikochay," because they do not have good midwives. And since they do not have good midwives, so their heads are not perfect. So he went and he waited an hour, and he came back, this fellow. And he said again, Mikan Hillel, is Hillel here? He sat to be Yotzeli Cross, I say Hillel went out again. And he said, what do you want? And he said, I have a question. He said, ask it. There was a nation called Tarmaduyin, I don't know exactly what nation that is. But it says that their eyes were not, the eyelids were not like our eyelids, but they were more enclosed and more slanted. She says, why are they like that? So he said, this is a very good question you're asking. And Hillel answered, because they live in sandy areas, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu made their eyes like that in order to protect their eyes from the sand that was always blowing at them. So he went and he waited an hour and he came back later. And again he said, Mikan Hillel, is Hillel here? So Nisati v'yotzeli krosei, Hillel put on his robe and went out to meet him. And he says, Bini ma'ata mevakesh, what do you want, my son? He said, I have a question. All right, ask it. Ma mibnei ma ragleim shel afrikaim rechovis. Why are the feet of the Africans so wide? So he said, it's a very strange thing here also, because the average foot of even the white man in Africa is much wider than the average foot of people from other countries. But at any rate, he said, why are the feet of the Africans so wide? So he said, it's a very good question. Because they live in wet areas. So there's two explanations in Rashi, but one is that because they lived in wet areas, maybe speaking more about Central Africa, because they lived in wet areas, they would go without shoes. And if you always walk without a shoe, so your foot is going to become wider. Then he said, Shailas Harbi Yeshli Lishol. I have many questions to ask, but I'm afraid that maybe I'll make you angry. So Hillel sat down and he said, all the questions, it was Erev Shabbos too. He said, all the questions that you want to ask, ask me. So then he said, are you Hillel, that they say you're the Nasi, you're the Prince of Israel? He said, yes. So he said, I'm very upset with you. He said, why? Because you caused me to lose 400 zoos. So Hillel said, it's better that you lost 400 zoos than I should become angry. Then the Gemara brings another case. A non-Jew once came before Shammai. And he said, how many Torahs do you have? He said, two. A written law and an oral law. So he said, I believe in the written law. But I do not believe in the oral law. Convert me. On the condition that you will teach me only the written law. So Shammai drove him out. He said, the law is that you cannot accept a convert unless he's willing to accept all of the mitzvahs. If he says, I'll accept every mitzvah except one, can't accept it. Balif Nei Hillel, he came to Hillel. Told him the same thing. So Hillel said, all right, come back, we'll learn. So the first day he taught him Aleph Beis Gimel Dalet. The next day he came back, he reversed the order of the letters. And he said the Aleph was the Beis, and the Beis was the Gimel. This is what Hillel told him. So the non-Jew told him, yesterday you didn't tell me this. And the non-Jew said, this is the Aleph and this is the Beis, because that's how you taught me yesterday. So he said, so you're relying on me. How do you know that this is an Aleph and this is a Beis? Because you're relying on me. So rely on me also, that everything that's written in the oral law is also true. And Hillel was telling him a very deep principle. If you don't want the oral law, that's the words of the rabbis. The written law, that's what's written in the five books of Moses. If you don't want to listen to the rabbis, so then how do you know this is an Aleph and this is a Beis and this is a Gimel? So you're depending on us. So depend on us and on everything. Because if you don't depend on us, then even the Aleph Beis you don't know. This is what Hillel told him. So slowly, he convinced him that all of the Torah is true, and eventually the person was Magayar, converted. Shuv Maisa ben Ochri Echod, another case of a non-Jew, came to Shammai and he said, convert me on the condition that you'll teach me the entire Torah when I'm standing on one foot. Shammai took his stick and drove him out. So he came to Hillel. So Hillel said, all right, stand on one foot. And he said, Dolecho sani lechaver chlei savit. What is hated to you, do not do to your fellow man. Zuhi kol ha-Torah kula. This is the entire Torah. V'idoch pirushuhu. The rest is just commentary. Zil gemor, go learn the commentary now. Shuv ma'aseh b'nochri echod. There was another case of a non-Jew that came. That he was walking by the Beis HaMedrash, he was walking by Yeshiva one day and he heard the Talmidim learning. So he heard they were learning about the beautiful garments of the Kohen Gadol. So when he heard such beautiful garments of the Kohen Gadol, so he decided that he will convert and become a Kohen Gadol. So he went to Shammai and told Shammai that I want to convert to become a Kohen Gadol. So Shammai took his stick and drove him out. He came to Hillel. So Hillel said, now, a convert cannot become a Kohen Gadol. Even a Jew cannot become a Kohen Gadol unless he's from the tribe of Levi, unless he's from the children of Aaron. So Hillel said, you want to become a king. No nation makes a person a king before he knows the history of the nation and before he knows all of the strategy and the traditions and the military tactics of the nation. Go learn it first. So he went to yeshiva and he started to learn. One day he comes to the posuk Va'azoa Akorev Yumas, that any Jew who's not from the tribe of Levi, if he will come too close in the Beis HaMikdosh, then he will be put to death, because there's places where only the Kahanim can go or the Levim can go. So he asked his Rebbe, who's this posuk said on? So they told him, even David Melech Yisrael, even King David. So he said, he said, the Jews who are the sons of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he has given them so much love. And still, if they come too close in his Beis HaMikdash, he says they will be put to death. So a stranger that has come from a far off place with his stick in his bag to become part of the Jewish nation, he certainly shouldn't be able to. So he came back to Hillel, and he told Hillel that he understands that he's not allowed to become a Kohen Gadol, but he wants to become Jewish anyhow. So, and he said, in Roshon Hillel Yanuchalov Broches Areshkoshi Kraftani Tachas Kanfi Ashkina. To Hillel you have all of the brochas, because you have brought me, because of your great humility, you have brought me under the wings of the Shekhinah. Liyomim nizdavdu shleishtun lamok mechod. One day, all three of these people, after they had all converted, all happened to meet. They all happened to meet one day. And they each told over their stories. Omru, they said, Kaptenusei shel shamai biksu letoradnu min hayom. The strictness, the discipline of Shamai almost drove us out of the world. Inversonusai shel Hillel, but the love and the humility of Hillel, keravnu tachas kanfei Ashkina, brought us under the wings of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this was the great midah, the great quality of Hillel. The next Mishnah tells us, and this is also from Hillel, Hu ha'yomer nagid shmei abid shmei. Nagid shmei means, from the word nogid, when a person's name becomes too popular, becomes too royal, abid shmei, then he should be very careful. Because it states, lifnei shever gaon, that right before a person's downfall, many times he reaches his peak. If his name is becoming too popular, if he's becoming too aloof, too high, he should be very careful, because this might be the beginning of his downfall. And Hillel was teaching that a Jew has to remain humble. Hillel was the Nosi Shebi Yisrael. This was the greatest personality in Israel. Very easily he could have washed his hands from this whole situation. He could have told these people, speak to my secretary, make an appointment, and she'll arrange for the proper committee to meet with you. Finished. He was a Nazi. At the same time, he's teaching here that a Jew must be very careful if he starts getting too high, because that's the beginning of his downfall. The Gemara says, Oy rabones shekeveres es baalecha. Oy rabones there means aristocracy. It means the royalty, nobility. If a Jew must be noble, but not like the Geisha nobleman. If a Jew holds himself too aloof, too far away from the other people, then that nobility will bury him. A Jew must come down to be close to the people. He must be sensitive to their needs, and he must be close to them. And this we see in Hillel. Hillel was the greatest personality of Israel, yet he was willing to come all the way down to the level of these people in order to bring them close to Torah. This is why the Maral says Hillel was the one who's teaching us. These were the midos of Shalaran HaKoyin. Heavy mitalmid of Shalaran HaKoyin, be from the disciples of Aaron. Oev Shalom, Vereidev Shalom. You must love Shalom and pursue it. Eves Abrius, you must go and love the people and bring them close to Torah. And that's only by coming down to their level and then bringing them up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's level. This is the source of the kahuna, and this is why they are sanctified. Not like many people think, that the kahanim, the priests, were served in some remote place, and therefore they were always very remote and very far and very separated, and this is why we sanctify them. Not so. Hillel tells us just the opposite. What are the qualities of the kahuna? from the fact that Aaron had the capability of bringing the people together and unifying them and bringing them close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This was his quality. And we are instructed to be the Talmidim. We should be zeiche to see these qualities grow in Israel.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za, via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at P.O. Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.